podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Talkscreamers podcast. My name is Simo. Today, I'm joined by Billy. Say hello, Billy.
Hello, mate. You all right?
I am good, mate. Do you remember we used to do this all the time? Just
yeah,
me and you, mate.
Daily, wasn't
every
it?
Fucking day. We all back at it, you know. Just swinging away, putting out those points.
You know? The dream duo, mate.
Bit of a throwback, bit of a throwback. Right, Billy boy. We're not going to have a long one tonight. We've both got early starts tomorrow, so let's get through this table, right? Arsenal, get the points at Villa, to your dismay. Yep. And Man City failed to get all the points at Forest. They got a point at Forest. Thoughts? Give me your thoughts. I mean, I think this game was super. Like, I felt like Arsenal season almost kind of rests in this game.
Yeah, I'd agree. To be honest with you, it was such an important game for them after midweek, and it was a must win for them, really. But obviously, as a Villa fan, it's just gutting, and it just feels really harsh to lose in the way that we did. Because I thought, all right, yeah, they dominated the second half. The way that they came out and played the second half, they probably did deserve to win. But we just put up a really good account of ourselves, and to lose in the manner that we did, you know, any other day, that ball bounces over Martinez's head, straight to Nketiah, who taps it in,
yeah.
Offside, goal disallowed, 2-2. We go away with a point, buzzing with a point. I'd have taken it before.
I'm sure you would have. Yeah.
It's just one of them, you know. I thought the performance overall from a Villa perspective anyway was really, really good. And, you know, on the day we just got beaten by a stroke of luck. 2 minutes before Bailey's down the other end, his shot. I mean, it was a great save from Ramsdale, but that comes off the bar and goes straight to an Arsenal defender, whereas the other way around, it goes straight off Martinez's head into the back of the net, you know. It's a frustrating one. It really is. It's a harsh one to take, a hard one to take, but I mean, for Arsenal, it's just huge,
Look,
isn't it?
Positive,
especially,
mate.
Especially with
positive,
them.
Mate. You were a couple of minutes away from getting a point from Arsenal, which
yeah.
is a an amazing.
I mean,
and Ollie Watkins
look
is scoring.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
scoring again, like frequently. He's actually scoring.
Four and four. It's massive.
That is a great return for Ollie Watkins. He's never, well, not since going to Villa, certainly, he's never normally that prolific.
No, I mean, his first season behind closed doors, playing alongside Grealish, constantly feeding the ball.
Okay.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But since Danny Ings has come in, I mean, with Villa fans as well, we've never really known who the main man is. And since Danny Ings has left, Unai Emery's put his full faith back in Ollie Watkins, and it just seems to be paying off.
Mm.
And you know, I can't lie, I've been a big critic of Ollie Watkins since this season.
Rightly so, though, mate.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time, anyway, he needs five chances to score a goal, which is incredibly infuriating as a Villa fan, because most often than not, we're not going to create five chances a game for him, you know? And him squandering so many opportunities is really, really annoying.
And you see that as lost points.
Exactly,
points
yeah.
that we've not put on the board. And you think where you are right now, I mean, you're not miles off Europe. You're not actually miles off like the Conference League. And you think, oh, man, if he was just like a little bit more efficient, with the chances that he gets and the areas that he gets. And I think the thing that's always frustrating, me and you spoke about this in depth, the thing that always frustrates me about Ollie Watkins is the good work he does off the ball and to get in the right position to score.
Yeah.
And then he ends
such,
up, you know.
Such an important player for us. Off the work, like you say, the work he does off the ball, getting into the right positions, he's so good at everything. Even his hold-up play is fantastic. It's just his finishing that he's been really lacking on. And you know, he signed, or he hired, should I say, really, a finishing coach last summer. And we didn't really see any improvement. Now we're starting to see the Ollie Watkins that we knew and loved in his first season. You know, so I'm over the moon for him because, like I say, I have been a big critic of his. But I just hope it can continue now. We've got a decent run of fixtures. Everton up next, who typically have found a good vein of form, and the Sean Dyche. I mean, we all knew that it was going to happen.
He's home and away.
We're away, so it's a tough game.
Yeesh.
It's a real tough game. But, you know,
would you take a point? If I offered you a point right now, would you take it?
No, I don't think we can, to be honest with you. I don't think we can. I think we can go there and win. And I think Emery will get us playing some fluid attacking football. I mean, look at the second goal that we scored against Arsenal. Playing out from the back, you know, Kamara playing it to Moreno, getting everyone involved, the finish from Coutinho, the little, like, Buendia just letting it go through his legs. The goal was just gorgeous. It's probably one of our goals of the season, to be honest with you.
Actually has a great game.
Yeah, so I'm feeling... Oh, I don't want to say that I'm feeling confident, because I can never feel confident with the Villa.
I would not be confident going away to Everton if I was Villa right now.
I mean, an away day at Everton's hard enough anyway, isn't it?
I think Dyche is looking at that and thinking points.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
home at Villa,
he's got to be, really. But yeah. I think we have to do the same as well.
Indeed. Right, back onto the subject of Arsenal-Manchester City. Arsenal get over the line, and obviously... They get the points. That's what's important. And Man City, I mean, it feels like the work that Man City I still think you know, Manchester City could easily go and catch Arsenal.
It's still Man City.
Yeah, it's still Manchester City. But I was on a podcast the other day and I mentioned this. There's a lot of excitement about Arsenal. And I feel like all the feelings around Arsenal from, like, maybe, you know, and there's a certain minority of their fan base that are a vocal minority of, like, you know, downcast stuff, but generally the feeling around Arsenal is really exciting. There's a bit of a rain cloud over City, isn't there? Because they're just like, have we been breaking a law for 10 years? There's a bit of a... And Pep's doing these sort of like dirty little protests of like not playing a left back and shit like that. And
yeah, it is very bizarre, isn't it? You know, he's playing...
Gets rid of Cancelo and he's like, no, I have no fullback. And I'm like, well, you get rid of him.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But they've still got Rico Lewis there, who's a decent enough player.
Yeah.
But they would prefer to play Kyle Walker, who, I mean, in my opinion, from what I've seen of Rico Lewis anyway, he seems like a bit of a better technical footballer than Kyle Walker. Walker's good enough.
I don't think he's the athlete that Walker is.
No, of course not. But, I don't think many players that are the athlete like Kyle Walker, just purely because
he's in his heyday, maybe these days, but in his heyday, maybe not.
I just think as a technical footballer, if you're looking for that player, which Man City tend to do, to come into midfield and kind of play alongside Rodri, from what I've seen anyway, Rico Lewis is good enough to do that. I don't necessarily think Kyle Walker is, but he's got the pace. If he's to give the ball away, for example, he's got the pace to get back and bail him out, essentially. But yeah, just the whole way that they play now, since Haaland's come in, transitioning from the false nine that they were playing last season and for the past couple of seasons, you're just starting to see these little inconsistencies now. You know, they go on and get a massive result midweek against Arsenal, away at Arsenal. And then they don't beat Forest. Albeit away at Forest. And it's a tough place to go, don't get me wrong.
There's no worse than eight home games or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's the home form that will most probably keep them in the division, because their away form's been terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that it's a hard place to go, but not for Man City. It isn't for Man City. Man City should be going there and getting 3 points comfortably. With all due respect to Forest, I'm a big fan of theirs. I like what they're doing. Steve Cooper's got them playing some fantastic football as well.
Manchester City's speciality, if you will, is just kind of rolling over the top six.
Absolutely,
the teams outside the top six.
Yeah.
Because they tend to just starve the opposition. I mean, I was kind of blown away that in the Manchester City and Arsenal game, Manchester City only had 36% possession, lowest ever under Pep. And I was thinking, man, teams are really starting to put the foot on the ball when they either go or come to City. You know, they're actually trying to, like, no, don't, you can't have all the ball. You know, if they're a good technical side, Liverpool's been like that. Liverpool's been like that for years and always took the game to City and seen great dividends for it. And now other technically good teams like Arsenal and Chelsea and Spurs who have had joy at City where, you know, I know Spurs have less of the ball when they play City, but other teams are starting to do that.
Did you see the goal that Forrest scored?
Beautiful team.
Every single one of the players kicked the ball in that passage of play.
Beautiful team goal.
That never happens against Man City. Never happens. But It's just so strange. And I mean, like I say, Forest are doing some incredible stuff, especially at home anyway this season. So I take no credit away from them whatsoever. They deserve all the credit in the world. But
listen,
I mean,
they got all those players in.
The Haaland miss. Like,
yeah. Oh.
What? How? How do you miss it first off?
I thought the exact same of that.
Let alone the top scorer for the past five seasons. Well, he's already beaten the top scorers for the past five seasons. It's mad, but...
I thought the exact same thing of the Odegaard chance in the Villa game. I thought, how
we got away
is this guy
that.
Who's just been immense all season, absolutely immense. It goes under the radar. I think it doesn't go under the radar because everybody knows how good Odegaard is, but does everybody know fucking how good he is as a player? He's so good. He's like,
I know what you mean.
He's a midfielder. He's absolutely unbelievable. And he's a captain, and it's like written in the stars that he gets the team over the line for his points, and buff, he scuffs it. It goes wide, and you think, oh my, it's just not going to be Arsenal's days.
You see, when that happened in the Villa game, there was a slight bit of me that thought, maybe we're going to do this then. We've been let off massively. But I just thought, and I tweeted it out actually halfway through the second half, that Arsenal were just getting the look of the bounce in that second half. And, you know, I could always feel that something was going to happen. I thought that would have been it. And that's when the penny kind of dropped and I was like, all right, maybe, just maybe, we may get something here. But typical, I was right.
Well, I wouldn't say that's the typical thing about it. Anyway, I think, again, we are just doing a very short show today, guys. I think I want to ask you your opinion on Emi Martinez goes up, Unai Emery, incensed by his furious.
Yeah.
And also kind of scapegoats him a bit in the post-match, doesn't he? Kind of takes all the attention away from, like, Villa kind of throwing it away at the last minute and just puts it directly on him.
Yeah, I mean...
Brilliant post-match managerial conduct by Unai Emery there. But what are your thoughts on Emery? He doesn't get the look, he doesn't get the thumbs up, he just goes.
Yeah, I mean, you know me, I'm a huge Emi Martinez fan, and I mean, the Villa fan reaction from Saturday's, it was all his fault. I'm absolutely not in that camp. I've been defending him to the hills on Twitter. I don't know if you've seen Simo, but just it was literally just the scapegoat. You know, Emery's not happy with him. How can you be happy with him? This, that, and the other. And in my view, anyway, and I'm sure Unai Emery, after having a little time to, you know, tensions are high after the game, aren't they? Obviously, you know, just lost 4-2 twice at home, the past two home games, 11 goals conceded in the past three games. It doesn't make for good reading. But my view of it is, we all know that Emi Martinez is a very passionate guy anyway against Arsenal.
I think it comes from the OG. I think he's like,
absolutely,
and I've got to go and make this right. And I think
he's trying to right a wrong.
Yeah.
In his head, he's trying to right a wrong. And by him going up for the corner, you're adding another body. If we score, or even if they don't go on the counter-attack, the ball goes out for a throw-in or whatever, no one bats an eyelid. You know, maybe Unai Emery still has a word with him.
Personally, I think Unai Emery's still upset by that, just the sheer fact that he didn't go and get a look.
Yeah,
because obviously, Villa will be working on their set-piece routines, and virtually, I'd imagine none of them include the goalkeeper being in the opposition box. So
he could be the goalkeeper listening to what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but no, for me anyway, it's not that deep. He's a passionate guy and he's just trying to right a wrong. At the end of the day, it didn't work out how he wanted it to, how any of us wanted it to. But I think if they don't go down the other end and score, no one really bats an eyelid. It's just one of those things. You see it often enough in football, and an important game, you know.
I will say it is important that Unai Emery stamps that out immediately.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Stamps out immediately because he's quick to do that. Because, like, it's not as if, right, you look at different situations around the league where, you know, I wouldn't say an unproven manager in Graham Potter, because he has done some good stuff in the game, but he's not accomplished anywhere near what Unai Emery's accomplished.
No.
Where he does, he's dealing with big personality players and stuff like that, and you wonder how that's going to go. But even Emi Martinez is a World Cup winner. You know, that's not an unproven manager he's dealing with. You know, Unai Emery's a multiple European championship winner, you know? Granted, not Champions League, but like...
semi-finalist.
Yeah, you know, he's done good work.
I mean, it was touch and go, really, in the semi-final as well against Liverpool, wasn't it, if I remember rightly?
Yeah, so, for tournament football, he's a very good manager. He knows exactly how to make his team hard to beat.
When you play Stevenage.
Yeah. It's a completely different ask, though, isn't it? It's a completely different ask. Yeah. 9 times out of 10, he's got an opposition.
Real Madrid, Liverpool. Yeah. And then it's fucking steaming and shit. You get
I'd imagine he's like, how do I even prepare for this game?
I know, yeah.
I'm used to like. But anyway, I just think it's important that he stamps his authority, because he's still a new manager at Villa. He's not been there that long, and he cannot be seen to be like letting players run up, without following his instructions. So, I think that actually bodes well that I think. The manager's handled that situation in probably the best way he could have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I do agree. I think it's important that he stamps it out. But I just think that maybe I'm speaking, obviously not speaking for Unai Emery here, but I don't know if he's kind of just the heat of the moment. He's furious that we've lost. He's gutted that we've lost. I don't know whether the heat of the moment he's gone. It's kind of his fault, and he's kind of pushed him under the bus a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think maybe with a little bit of time to reflect on it, maybe he's thinking he shouldn't have probably gone as publicly as he did.
By now, mate, it's forgotten about. By now, it's the probably better training today. You know, I'm sure it's all swept under the rug. You know
Focus on Everton.
Yeah, that's all anybody's got to be thinking of. You know, I mean, I wouldn't expect to see who's the second choice for keeper again at fucking Olsen. Villa. Yes, Olsen. Rob Olsen. Yeah, fucking of course. I wouldn't expect him to be starting or anything drastic like that.
I mean, if you see the performances that he's put in, Jesus Christ! And this is another thing I've been saying on Twitter that. Emi Martinez is Villa's most important player at the moment, just purely purely because the other option is just nowhere near good enough for championship level football. With all due respect, he's just not good enough for, let alone Premier League football. So if Emi Martinez was to be injured tomorrow, our season is over. And you could argue that we should probably try and stay out of the relegation battle. Because Emi Martinez,
virtually the only option you've got is to go and give like Ben Foster $300,000 a week until the end of the season, because he's really the only like decent keeper out there that I can. Yes. Oh, talk about his redemption arc. Should we finish up on that? Like, this is either the sequel to a horror movie that is Loris Karius's career, or it's the redemption arc. It's it's part two. It's like. You know, he comes in and he wins the trophy. That is the only two ways. I'm feeling nervous for him already, man. I don't like that. Watching him have such a bad final in the world stage that he just never, ever bounced back from. I mean, this was a guy that was at fucking Liverpool Football Club. You know, as a keeper, he'd get in ahead of Miggs and he was like looking to be... It was like not too bad, right? Granted, he wasn't pulling up trees, Billy Boy, but he was all right. And then since that,
good enough.
I watched him in a pre-season after the final, mate, and he made like two errors, and I was like, "This guy's head's gone." And actually, it's actually the butterfly effect here. That really forces Liverpool to go out and get Alisson, who becomes, in my mind, the best goalkeeper to play for Liverpool certainly in my lifetime. Mm. You know. Yeah. So I don't know what it's going to be like. Unless Newcastle appeal the red card. If you appeal the red card, do you not get the next game?
No. I think if you appeal the red card, I think it either gets rescinded and he gets no ban, or from my understanding
More bans.
He gets an extra game or two.
Yeah.
But I just don't see how Newcastle can possibly appeal it, because it's just going to get turned down. It's the most blatant red card you will ever see.
What
it's just the
thinking,
most ridiculous
man?
Thing. It's
not that. Dubravka is a capable keeper. Dubravka is a capable keeper. But Dubravka could probably start. Dubravka could probably be starting for a team in the Premier League. Not an upper tier team. Not like a top 10 team, or even maybe like a top 13 team. You know, maybe that lower sort of third of the league. I think Dubravka's probably good enough on that, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
But he's cup tied. He's cup tied.
The best thing is, if Newcastle lose, Dubravka gets a winner's medal.
Yeah. Dubravka's buzzing, I don't know. He's not. Yeah, he's only going to be buzzing if I get
that. Yeah. I mean, in that situation, what?
He needs to lean into it, though. He needs to lean into it. He needs to go up. Get his medal. Go up and get
just
lined
get
up
into a fan or something. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
As he's walking back down the steps, you just go, oh, you can have this. I don't care.
I mean, like, is there any retired keepers that are out there? Get Pepe Reina. Pepe Reina.
He's at Lazio, isn't he, I think?
Is he still playing? I thought he's, I was ever. I thought he hung
I'm
it up.
I'm pretty sure he's still playing,
I thought
he hung it up. He's, Iker Casillas is playing in PK's mini league thing that he's got. The king of leagues or something like that.
Oh,
you seen that little thing?
So is he technically still a free agent then? Because you can sign a free agent, you can go and get a free... I mean, I'm just... Oh,
and imagine that, 45
if Karius goes and has a disaster. If Karius goes and has a disaster, mate, it's going to be like a car crash, man. It's like, you kind of have to watch, but you kind of want to look away, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, this guy has had his...
Yeah, but you slow down on the motorway.
Ooh.
Yeah. Thank God that's not me.
Yeah, exactly, mate, exactly. Right. I think we'll end it on that note. I know there was quite a lot of Villa talk in there, folks, but we're going to cover more teams tomorrow. We are just a little bit tired, and we'll come back late tomorrow night and have a pod out for you in the morning. Okay, guys, so thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much, Billy Boy. We shall see you on the next one. Sports Social Podcast Network.